I use this? Does this work? If it doesn't, I'll keep pressing. It's not a problem.
I changed the pattern.
Okay.
Carry on.
Well, it's really nice to be here. Again, the last time I was here was 2015, and we were out the back. It was a Wednesday night. And I don't know how many of you remember, I was working with a project called ARCA, and I'd spoken a number of times about ARCA. And everything was up in the air the last time I was here. The project was sort of suspended. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'll just give you a two-minute update on that. So I went back in April 2016 with an action plan to see how we could reopen ARCA, what we could do with it. There was a little bit of resistance by the Brazilians, and they just had, thank you, they just had in their mind to reopen a girls' home. We were thinking maybe we could work through churches, we could go down a different route, but it was really difficult. Certain people just had in their mind reopen a girls' home. And I knew from the beginning, as president of the project, I was leading the project, I knew I didn't want to work in a girls' home. I knew I didn't want to lead a project, and I said before I came home, when I come back, I'll carry on for a while, but I'm not going to carry on being president of the project, and I'm not going to reopen a project. So basically, I already knew about the work that I'm going to speak about tonight. It was with a different project, sort of under an umbrella mission out there called MISEBI, which is a Brazilian mission, but my mission, UFM, and a Swiss mission called SAM, and an American mission called Crossworld, all come under MISEBI. So we all know about each other's projects, and we go on a conference every year. So I already knew about this, the prison ministry. And when I realized, okay, I don't think the street work will reopen, I honestly don't believe ARCA will reopen as a project, I thought, this is what I want to do. So I resigned from the project. I resigned, first of all, as a president. Another president was put in place. They were convinced ARCA was going to reopen. I wasn't so sure. Neither was Joe McMillan, who also worked with ARCA and who's my housemate. And it hasn't reopened. So I left ARCA in 2016. I started with Provida in August 2016. There was a group of people trying to reopen ARCA, and it never worked. And the missionary who was still over there at the time is retired. She's back in the UK now, and it's not really working. The people who were associated with ARCA, a small group of them, they are using one of the buildings to reach out to the community, and they're running a football school. So there is some work being done, but it's not really in the name of ARCA, but at least something is being done there. So that's an update on ARCA. If you've got any more questions, ask me later. And as well, I'm probably going to miss certain things out speaking about the work I'm doing now. So if you have any questions when I finish, please feel free to shout out at me later. That's not a problem. Okay, so hopefully can you all see that behind my head? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to have to look at the screen here. So the project I'm working with is called Provida, and it means pro-life. It's nothing to do with abortion. It just means that they're working for the benefit of teenagers and children at risk. So I'm just going to, in case any of you don't know where Brazil is, I'm sure you do, there's Brazil. I'm not going to read all the statistics out, but I'm not actually working in Belém. This is a picture of Belém where I used to work, and I used to work, I don't know if this works, oops, no, wrong one. I used to work along the riverfront there. That's part of the Amazon River. That's where I used to work with street children. So now I'm slightly more inland in a place called Ananindeua, and it's slightly bigger than Cardiff. Cardiff has how many people? Where is it? Yes, and Ananindeua has 504,000, so slightly bigger. And most of the prisons where I work are based in that area. So it's very nice. I don't have to catch a bus at 7 o'clock in the morning anymore down into Belém, which was a bit of a nightmare. So just some sights of Belém. Some of you might have seen this already. Rush hour traffic on the top there. So I used to pick that up every morning when I went into Belém. And the buses are not full until all the seats are full and you're three deep in the aisles like this and you're dripping with sweat. So that's quite nice not to have to be part of that anymore. And Brazil nuts, if you like Brazil nuts, this is where they come from. And in the north of Brazil, where Belém is the capital of a state called Pará. And they're called nuts of Pará. So they grow there, they come in this round shell, and that's how you get them. Bottom left is one of the very famous sites in Beleng, where all the boats come in, where they've been fishing. And just next to that is my house, which looks like a prison. So it's quite appropriate I work in a prison because my house looks like a prison. And I'll tell you why that is a bit later. So you might have already seen that. Okay, just before I tell you about the work, I thought I would just share a little bit about Brazil. I'm going to be really honest here. And when I came back from Brazil this time, I came back thinking, I don't like Brazil anymore. The longer you live in a different culture, the longer you get to know under the surface, you get to know the realities. As Brits, we all complain about the government, about NHS probably, about various things. And the longer I've been in Brazil, the more I've seen just how difficult the people have it there, and the corruption and the violence, and it's really not easy. So we're not actually going to do this now, but just so you're aware of some of the things. So the church situation, I'm just going to go through this really briefly. The church situation, it's hugely Catholic country, and in October there's a huge festival called Sírio, where I call it a doll of Mary, carrying baby Jesus in a glass box, stuck on top of a car, is paraded through the city, and this is a huge festival. So thousands and thousands of people out. Down in Beleng, people try and hold on to this cord, try and get a blessing. So that's the Catholic festival. There are Seventh-day Adventists. There's the Universal Church, which is health and wealth. There are Jehovah's Witnesses. There are all sorts, Mormons as well, there are all sorts of other religions there, but even the evangelical church is not that great. There's a lot of very superficial teaching, there's a lot of wrong doctrine. There's churches on every street corner. When I walk to my church, I go past a church where there's somebody shouting, they're preaching and they're shouting, they think they're more holy if you shout. And I often feel like saying, God's not deaf, you don't need to shout. So and a lot of immorality in the what is an evangelical church, so it's not great. Government, pray for a decent government. They're having elections fairly soon. I can't remember the name of the candidate, but at the moment Michael Temer is president. He replaced Dilma Rousseff, so he shouldn't really be president. But the government is not in a good position. The economy is in crisis as well. So they need people who are honest with integrity in government. Also corruption. Corruption is everywhere, not just in government. It's in the police. It's in doctors. It's in dentists. Just before I came back, a friend told me that a doctor had prescribed her husband the most expensive medicine because he was on commission. So you can't trust anybody. And I've been bribed by the police as well. I didn't pay it. But it's everywhere, from the top right the way down. And also violence. And yeah, as you can see on there, Beleng is number 10 in the top 10 most violent cities. And for the first time I've been in Beleng nearly 7 years. For the first time in March, I was robbed on the street. So I can't believe it's taken that long. Two guys pulled up on a motorbike at night. It was only 8:30, not far from my house. I was just around the corner from my house helmets on. He took my bag, gave me a bag. I had earphones in with an iPod shuffle. So normally they're after these nice phones. So he lifted my T-shirt up. He said, "Where's your phone?" I said, "I haven't got one." I did have one, but it was a really cheap Nokia, which was in my bag. So they basically got nothing, hardly anything of worth for them. But yeah, so afterwards I thought, okay, I feel part of the club now. It's taken me 7 years to be robbed. Now I feel part of the club. But it's really violent. I was lucky, or not lucky, providence of God, I didn't have a gun to my face or a knife, because that is very, very common. So yeah, maybe when you think of Brazil as well and Beleng, think of the violence there. So just a bit of information of Brazil. So Provida. Provida did have three departments, which I'll tell you about. Prevention is working with small children, and they have children's homes, which we go into when they preach the gospel, like proper children's homes. They also have preschools, which are run through churches. And they also run camps and children's day, so reaching out to small children. I'm not involved in that. Girasol, which means sunflower, was the boys' home, which Provida had. And for a number of years, there were 20, 15, 11 boys who lived there. And the actual location itself was brilliant. Swimming pool, football field, three houses. They closed it in June, lack of funding. So the Provida's now only got two departments, and the other department, which I'm part of, is called Novo Humu, which means new direction, which I'm just going to talk about. Yeah, Camp and Children's Day, these are just a few photos. So twice a year, February and July, Provida runs a kids camp, and all of these kids are from difficult backgrounds. A lot of them have been abused. Last year, I think on my second camp, I had one boy, I was the camp first aider, and I had this one boy brought to me, and one of the adults, who was his sort of officer leader, just said to him, have a look at his head. And I had a look at his head, and I thought he had lice to begin with, but when I looked closer, he had all scabs on his head, and I'd never seen anything like it. And the leader actually said, it's because he doesn't have any shampoo where he lives. So he comes from a really dirty place. He doesn't have shampoo, no basic hygiene, really. So I think for 4 days, I constantly washed his hair. I put antiseptic, and gradually it started to heal up. But his head was just full of scabs. And this boy was about 7 years old. And a lot of them have been physically abused, sexually abused. A lot of these kids are used as drug runners as well. So really awful backgrounds. But when they come to the Provida camp, they have a safe environment for 4 or 5 days. A lot of them cry at the end because they don't want to go home. A lot of them have, when it's meal times, they will eat loads and loads of food because they don't have much food at home. So these are just some of the pictures, and obviously Bible studies. And this year I think they learned about Joseph, so it's always focused on the Bible. So the part that I'm going to talk about a little bit more, Novo Humu, new direction. I'm just trying to think how many prisons. So I go into 2 female prisons and 5 male prisons, and then there are 2 other male prisons which I don't go to. The female prisons, there are 2 of them. One is called Sefipi, which you can see up here, and it's where the girls go when they're first arrested. So they spend 45 days there, and they await a sentence. So they either get a sentence or they get set free. This is brilliant for us because if they get a sentence, it means when they go to the other prison, we already have a relationship with them. And even better, there are always adults in the room with us. So we don't just share the gospel with the children or with the teenagers, we share it with the adults as well. And we often have really, really, really good conversations. The lady here, Krista, the blonde lady, is American. Her and her family came over to Beleng about nearly 3 years ago, and she's just started a ministry about a year ago working with prostitutes. So there are lots of women and men prostituting themselves on the road outside my house, and she started to work with them, and she's developed a course against human trafficking. And what she's doing here, she comes in every 6 weeks or so for this talk, but she comes in every other week with me there, but every 6 weeks she gives a talk to these girls how they can be aware of what human trafficking is so that they themselves are not trafficked. So she talks about love, what good love is, what bad love is, what the role of the mother and the father is. And a lot of these youngsters haven't got a positive role model at home. And I've seen some of these girls, even right at the beginning, talking about what good love and bad love is, just breaking down because they've suffered so much abuse, not necessarily from their fathers, but from boyfriends as well. So they don't know what positive love is. They don't know what the biblical version of love is. And then through that, Krista talks about human trafficking and prostitution. So this is a picture of one of the rooms, and we're in there doing a Bible study. I often use pictures and just simple gospel message, and we play games with them afterwards. And like I said, they're only there for 45 days, so often the turnover is quite quick. And here there are 2 of the prison guards there as well, and they take part and they really enjoy it. So if they get a sentence, they go to another prison, which is just down the road, called Sezefi. And Sezefi is a great prison for us to go into because we get to know the girls really, really well. There's not that many of them there compared to the boys. The boys' prisons are absolutely jam-packed. But the girls, usually, I think at the most, there's probably been about 30. So because we're in there every week, we get to know the girls really well because we have the same girls every week. And they come out of their cells, they meet in a room with us, they're always happy to see us, they've got their own Bibles, and it's just such a blessing. So this is one day when we were doing a Bible study there. I'm not allowed to take photographs really, so I haven't got that many, but this was taken by one of the children's workers who just pops her head in, takes a photograph, and then sends me the photographs on. And this girl here, Luana, just to tell you about her, she was converted, I'm not exactly sure when, but I found out she was converted early on last year. So I've known her well over a year and a half. I used a counselling tool with her called the Green Bag, which I might have mentioned before, and I've got a picture of it. And talking through some of her issues with her, some of the things she said, I asked her if she was a Christian. She said yes. And I don't always believe them because a lot of them say they're Christians and it just means nothing. Everybody's a Christian in Beleng. But the more she talked, the more I thought, yeah, there's something here. I think she has believed. And she has. And she was released in August. She's gone to a halfway prison, which means that she's in a prison for a week, and then, or during the week, and then at the weekend, she's let out. And last week and today, I've had messages from her on my WhatsApp. She's hi, Chia. Chia's auntie. Hi, Chia. I'm really well. I'm going to church with Gianni. Gianni is my colleague. I love it there. It's great. I'm really well. But keep praying for me. Don't forget me. So I sent her a message just before coming here saying, I'm going to a church tonight. We're going to speak about you. We're going to pray for you. So just praise God for her. She's 17. She asked me for a number of times, Chia, please pray that I won't go back to my home. I don't want to go back. It was quite a long way from Beleng. If I go back there, my life is at risk. She didn't actually kill somebody, but she was the cause of somebody's death. I don't know exactly what happened, but if she went back to her house, that family or people in the area would probably kill her. That's very, very common. And also her family drink, they use drugs as well, so she didn't want to go back. She wanted to stay in the Beleng area, and God's answered that prayer. So now that she's not too far from my colleagues, we still have contact with her. So we just praise God for that. So when we go in, we do Bible study, we have sports activities as well, and we have had a group called the Presbyterian Church in Beleng, who partnershiped with us for a while. They're not with us at the moment, but they came in, they did sports activities, they did Bible activities as well, and they also did a few Christmas programs as well. So the top activity there, the girl in the blue and stood in the goal, is one of our, she was on placement with Provida, she's left now, but the bottom one shows this group, this church, who came in and they did hockey with the kids. We weren't actually there that day, but they did a really, really good job. We would love to have them back. At the moment, there are issues with their team, so we can't work with them, but they were such a benefit to us. The top one here, I wasn't there at that one either. They came in, but they did a program. I think it was the hockey, and they provided what they call a lanshi, like refreshments. They provided all of that. They got the girls together. They prayed with them. They gave them a Bible message. And the bottom one there is a Christmas program that took place at the other girls' prison, Sefipi. So the girls are really quite fortunate, actually. They're allowed out of their cells. They have all sorts of activities. They take part in Christmas programs. So they dance, they sing, they do plays. So they're really encouraged to be active. So this was Christmas activity. So that's the girls' prison, two prisons there. The boys' prison. Who goes into the girls' prison? Myself and Gianni and then Krista. So there are only three of us. Gianni is actually now, from October, not going to be officially with Provida. So she's going to volunteer, but we need somebody else. Otherwise, I'm going in on my own when I go back in January. So maybe you could remember that and pray for that. The boys' prisons, I go into the boys' prisons as well, and there are three members of our team besides myself. As you can see here, Alex with the curly hair, Jonathan, and Rafael, or Rafael as we say in Portuguese. So Alex is the coordinator. It's a pity, I haven't got a pointer on here at all, have I? Yeah. Is that the pointer? Oh, brilliant, right. Okay, just to give you some information on how much our team has gone down. So Alex, Jonathan, and Rafael. Lucas here, he's left, he was in charge of the boys' home, so when the boys' home closed, he had to leave. Charlotte here and Stephanie are both German, and on the 8th of September, they left Brazil. So they've been there, I don't know, about between 16 and 20 years, but they've left Brazil altogether, they've came back to Germany. So when I go back in January, I'm the only foreigner working with Provida, which isn't a problem because they're such a great team and I love them. These two here, Mario, who's 27, and Kayla, who's just over 30. Kayla's, they're both Brazilian. Kayla's been with Provida for a long time, and Mario's been with Provida about 3 years, I think. They got married in November, and now they're running the project. So Stephanie was leading the project. The project was started by a Swiss missionary 16 years ago. Stephanie took over about 5 or 6 years ago, and now she's handed over to Brazilians, so it's Brazilian run, which is what we want. So Stephanie and Charlotte leaving, doesn't matter. If I left, it doesn't matter. The project will continue. So praise God, because what I've noticed, Brazilian leadership isn't always that great. They've not got a lot of organization. The church isn't that great at funding projects like this, but they've got people behind them. So we're just so thankful. It's amazing that God has raised up these two. So they're brilliant. And Mario was actually my team leader as well when I started work in the prisons. So I'm going to show you just a part of a video, only about 3 minutes long, just to show you a little bit of inside the prison. Video or made clips for Monny Hall in Birmingham, which is one of my sending churches, which is why it's So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea what it's like inside the prison. So sometimes we get a loudspeaker like this. We stand there, we preach. I don't like doing that. I think that's the first time I've ever done it, and I don't like doing that. Other times we go to the individual cells and we speak to who's inside, and we can spend more time with them then. We can get to know them, and often we do see the same kids. And other times we can have them in a room. So these are just some pictures. At the top is the name of some of the prisons, or all of the male prisons that I go into. So just some pictures here. Right, why is it not working?